Grab your Bible. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end, and you're everything in between. Lord, we trust you today to speak to us in a way that will encourage us, that will strengthen us, that will help us understand what your call is for our lives. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit to take the word of God, transpose it from the Logos word, the written word, and cause it to become a rhema word in our lives and in our hearts. And I step back so the Spirit of God can use me. And Lord, I thank you for being an oracle of God to speak to your people. And I declare that signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow our lives as a result of hearing the word today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Let everybody say, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're continuing a series called Noise Cancellation. And the goal of the series is to hear God better by reducing or removing any unnecessary noise that may be competing with God's voice, because many of us don't realize that there is noise around us that's competing with God's voice. And I feel like we are maybe halfway through this series. So we have gone through 6 lessons. This will be number 7. And I believe the first 6 lessons laid the foundation of what we need to hear, what we need to know about hearing God's voice better. And so we covered in detail our soul area, because that's a major area that will either help or hinder us from hearing God's voice correctly and clearly. Amen. Now today I want to turn the corner and I want to talk about some reasons why we may not hear God's voice like we should. And so if you're taking notes, or if you need a copy of today's notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy. And so I want to talk about today hearing his will. Hearing his will. How many want to know God's will for your life? Yes, God's voice conveys his will, but if we don't trust or have confidence in his will for our lives, then we won't even obey his voice if we heard it. And so we're going to look into hearing God's will and why we don't seem to trust it. So I'm going to give you a heads up. You can probably already see it. I am going to approach today's topic in a way where I can best explain it without being preachy. Sometimes the preachiness causes people to miss what God is trying to say. We get caught up with the calisthenics, and I get that. I get that. I want to feel good after church too. But I would rather have an anointed speaker than just a charismatic speaker. Say amen to that, church. So let's go ahead and dive in. And I'm hoping that after today, you will have direction on discovering God's will for your life. So our first point in our message today is, if we're going to know God's will for our lives, we must remove the thought of mystery and replace it with discovery. I'm going to say that again. If you and I want to hear and know God's voice for our lives, his will for our lives, then we must remove the thought of mystery and replace it with discovery. You say, well, what do you mean about that? See, many of us have been raised to believe that God is a mysterious God, and because he is, we can't know what he wants us to do. And with that mindset, we definitely won't know his will for our lives. Amen. In fact, the sad thing is, this is far from the truth. Just because you may not know everything that a person knows doesn't make that person mysterious.
You say, what do you mean?
Well, let's take you for example. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to talk about you right now. Let's take you for example. Although I don't know the plans that you have in your heart for your life, even though I don't know that, that doesn't make you a mysterious person. That just means I'm not close enough to you to know what your plans are. And if God has a will, everybody say God has a will. And if God has a will and a plan for our lives, but he's too mysterious to tell us what it is, then here's my question. How can he hold us accountable to do what we don't know? Amen. God has a will. He has a plan for us individually, and he wants us to know what it is. In fact, the way Jesus instructed you and I to pray includes God's will being done. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, Jesus was say, he said this to his disciples, after this manner, this is how I want you to pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Read this with me, church. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that tells us there that God has a will. Everybody say, God has a will. So he has a will, and this will that God has is in heaven, but he's expecting the will that he has in heaven to be demonstrated down here in earth. Now that word will means what one wishes or what one has determined to be done by someone. It also means one's desire, one's purpose, and one's pleasure. So we're going to use a real concise definition. So as I talk about what God's will is, you and I can be on the same page. So the definition of God's will is his intentions, desires, and purposes for our lives. Everybody say his intentions, his desires, and his purposes for our lives. So if God wants his will to be done here on earth like it is in heaven, then he must tell us what this will is. Do y'all agree with me on that? Yes. And this is why God's word is so important, because his word is what tells us his will for our lives. And this is why we must renew our mind. I'm going to keep saying this in the series, that we must renew our minds. And in this case, if we want to know God's will for our lives, we have to renew our minds constantly. Everybody say constantly. I mean, you eat constantly. Come on now. We must renew our thinking constantly to God's word so that our mind, watch this church, stays in alignment with what God wants. Amen. See, when it comes to God's will, here's a take-home statement. My mind must grow in order for me to know. I'm going to say that again. When it comes to God's will, my mind must grow in order for me to know. Everybody say, my mind must grow in order for me to know. See, I got saved when I was 20 years old. That was 40 years ago. And I was either a junior or a senior in college. And I remember praying a prayer. And I meant this prayer that I prayed because I still remember praying the prayer. And this is the prayer that I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to be the best businessman I could be for you, but I don't ever want to be a preacher. As you can see, God did not answer that prayer. Why? Why didn't God answer that prayer? It's because I was praying a prayer that was coming from an unrenewed mindset. I was praying a prayer that was coming from my will and not his. And so as I begin to grow in the word, and grow and expand my thinking with a renewed mindset from his word, then guess what happened? I begin to now hear some things that I didn't know. Because if I knew he wanted me to be a preacher, I probably still would have prayed that prayer though. Everybody say, my mind must grow in order for me to know. Romans 12:2, we've covered it. I'm going to cover three things about this verse today. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing. I want you to notice that that's continual. It didn't say by renewed mind, a renewing of the mind. That's the difference between I ate and I'm eating. He's saying if we want to not be conformed to the world, we must have a renewing of our minds. And when we do that, he says we're going to be able to prove three things about God's will. We're going to be able to prove what's good. We're going to be able to prove what's acceptable. And we're going to be able to prove the perfect will of God. So everybody should have gotten a rubber band when you came in. Did you get a rubber band? Everybody got a rubber band? If you didn't get a rubber band, raise your hand and they'll give you one, okay? We got quite a few hands here going up. All right, so listen, while they are passing you out a rubber band, let's say that this rubber band that I gave to everybody represents how renewed your mind is. Now, pay attention while you have your hands up to get your rubber band. The only thing that keeps my mind renewed is the Word of God. Now, here's the problem. I'm going to ask Jermaine, come up here for a second here. Now, this is a bigger form of a rubber band. This is one of those workout bands. I don't have one. Okay? So, hold that in. Now, this workout band, it stretches. Pull your rubber band out. Pull it out. And I just want you to stretch it. Just stretch it. Now, see, look at that. See how that's stretching? Now, here's what happens. When you and I, put it back, put it back. When you and I don't have our minds renewed, that's what the rubber band is like without stretching it. But as we renew our minds with the Word, what happens? Our minds get stretched, right? But here's the problem. If we don't continue the mind renewing process, by default, our minds will go back to the state that it was in. And this is why you go back to cussing. Thank you, Jermaine. This is why we go back to, this is why we go back and do things that we used to do, because what happened is we stop renewing our mind and our mind just goes right back to where it came from. Amen. Once I stop getting the Word in me, my mind by default will slowly go back to where it was. And the thing is, watch this, church, this process of going back, it's so slow, we don't realize it's happening. So what I want you to do this week, everybody say this week. I want you to wear this rubber band for a whole week. But I want you to wear it as a reminder of you asking yourself, did I put some Word in my mind today to get it renewed? Let it be a reminder. If somebody say, hey, what's that rubber band on your wrist for? That's just reminding me that I need to renew my mind today. Amen? So there are three things. Everybody say three things. There are three things regarding God's will that I want you to absorb today. Here's the first one, is that God's will is good. His will is good. And that word good means beneficial. It means happy. It means joyful and excellent. And now, 40 years later, I'm in a place that I live to do God's will. In fact, my attitude now is like Psalm 40, verse 8. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your word or your law is within my heart. Watch verse 9. I love this. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I'm doing that right now. Praise the Lord. So everybody say, God's will is good. Here's the second thing about God's will that I want you to understand, is that it's acceptable. And that means it's pleasing and fulfilling. See, most of you have not completely yielded to God's will, so you have not discovered that it will fulfill you. And see, this is the thing. Money won't fulfill you. It may make you happy shortly. Amen. Listen, money is not the only thing in life. You say, well, if I had some more, I would be able to tell you, Pastor. But the will of God, the Word of God is acceptable. It's fulfilling, because there's nothing else I'd rather do in life than what I'm doing right now. Here's the third thing about God's will, is that it's perfect. And that word perfect means complete and lacking nothing. That means, watch this, that God's will, it aligns with my design. In other words, he already knows what he put in me. He already knows what he put on me. He already knows how he created me. And because he knows all of that, he knows that whatever that design is, it aligns with what he's called me to do. Say amen to that. So church, God wants us to know his will. Now I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 to show you that he wants us to know so we can take it out of this mysterious category. Because if you don't take it out of the mysterious category, you will never discover his will, because you will think, ah, that's not something he wants me to know. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 in the King James, I had to read it in context, so that's why we're reading so high up. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, where he has made us accepted in the beloved. Look at somebody and say, I'm accepted in the beloved. See, when you know you are accepted in the beloved, you don't have to worry about being accepted by others. See, I don't have self-esteem. I have God esteem. Because self-esteem is what I feel about myself, but God esteem says is what I'm feeling about what he said about me. And what he says about me is far more important than what I think about myself. Say amen to that. So he says, we've been accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. We also have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Watch verse 9, here we go. He's having made known unto us, the what, church? The mystery of his will. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. Here's the problem. Just because he's made it known doesn't mean I've discovered it. Amen. He has made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So God wants us to know his will. So now let's briefly cover some fallacies, or what I'm going to call some misconceptions regarding God's will. And if you have some of these, I need you to release them today. Because if you keep some of these misconceptions, you're not going to be able to understand God's will. So here's the first misconception. You can never know what his will is. Now we just covered that, and we know that's not true. Because see, first of all, God's will is found in his word. So why would God take the time to use at least 40 people? Because there are at least 40 different people that was used to write 66 books in the Bible. Why would God go through all that trouble to arrange all those people to write all these books if he didn't want us to know who he was and what he wanted us to do? Amen. Here's the second thing. If you want to know God's will, you got to remove this misconception, and that is his will is only needed with big things. Right. See, some people, they don't pray about little things. They only pray about big things. The problem is some little things can lead us to big things. I thought it was a little thing to go on a missions trip with a church that I was a part of years ago. That's a little thing. Hey, you know, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I did not know going on that missions trip, God was going to speak to me to go to the school in Jamaica. See, many of us, listen to what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Here's verse 6. In some of your ways. How much, church? In all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. So let me show you why you need to acknowledge God in the little things. Because when we practice hearing his will with small things, it helps us hear his voice and will with the big things. I'm going to say that again. When you and I practice hearing his will with the small things, Lord, should I eat out this week? Say, well, he know I got to eat. Yeah, he does. But he also knows where you need to eat, because there's somebody there that he's assigned you to talk to get saved. But all you're thinking about is eating. See, God's will always has other people's lives in mind. It's not just about you. So when we practice hearing his will with small things, and we begin to hear, then it helps us hear his voice and his will for the big things. Here's number three, very quickly. God's will be easy and comfortable. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lie. Yeah, yeah. God's will is not always easy. It's not always comfortable. And this is not even something that God promised. And here's the reality of life. Life can be hard even if you don't follow God's will. Here's the next one. If I miss his will, this is a good one right here. If I miss his will for my life, I will forever be out of his will. Now see, if you are raised in a religious environment, that can jack your life up. Let's say you had a baby out of wedlock. We wasn't supposed to. The word said you wasn't supposed to. And it happened to you. And boy, they made it feel like you going to hell, you going to burn, and you going to marry the devil. That's how bad it was, right? But the reality of it is, and I know God gives us multiple opportunities to obey him. All you got to do is ask Jonah. But sometimes we just want to go our way. So here's the question. What happens when I get out of his will by making a decision he didn't want me to make? Well, guess what happens? Repentance is necessary. And let me tell you the beauty about repentance. Repentance puts us back in line, not at the end of the line. Did you hear what I said? I said repentance puts you back in line, not at the end of the line. Listen, when the prodigal son left the house and got out of the will of his father and went and spent his money and wasted it and did this and did that, when he came back home with a repentance heart, the father didn't make him start over again. He threw him a party, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back. So when you repent, God puts you back in line. Even though I'm teaching, I'm preaching better than you clapping, but it's all good. Here's the next one. God's will always oppose what I desire. I used to think when God wants you to do something, you're going to hate it. You're not going to want to do it. And when it comes to your desires, put them on the shelf. One of my staff said they don't want to marry a short man. I tell you what, if I was a lady and I'd be like, well, if he's short and he got $1 billion, I might just take it. I might do that. I could just put some heels on him or something. God's will always oppose, watch this, what I desire. I need to hurry up. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, and you shall dwell in the land, and barely shall you be fed. Delight yourself, watch this, also in the Lord. And what's going to happen? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And then he says, and if you will commit your way to him and you trust in him, he will bring that desire to pass. Here's the next one. God will confirm, this is one of those fallacies. God will confirm his will with signs and confirmations. Now, he might confirm things with signs, but this is not something we need to rely on. Because a sign is something in the natural or something that we can see. And the Bible tells us we are supposed to walk by faith and not by what? Not by sight. Here's the last one. And that is God will remove my free will for him to do his will. And that's not true. Because we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in if he would have made Adam and Eve submit to his will. We will always have a choice to obey God or disobey God. So let's talk about one of the keys quickly to hearing and knowing God's will, which brings us to point number two. And that is you must desire it to acquire it. You must desire it to acquire. See, honestly, most people don't know God's will concerning their life because they don't want to know it bad enough. I think we forget that when Jesus came, Jesus had to discover, just like we do, what God's will was for his life. It was not intuitively downloaded in him from day one. No, he had to read the Bible, the Torah. He had to read those scrolls. You know why? Because in that word was God's will for his life. In fact, Psalm 40, I didn't give him this, but I read it earlier, but it was really referring to Jesus. Listen to what it says. He said, then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Your law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness to the, in the great congregation, and I have not refrained my lips. In other words, Jesus looked in God's word to discover what God wanted us to do. But we want a shortcut. We want God to text us his will. Text me, God. Amen. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. How bad do you want to know his will? It says, ask and it shall be given, seeking and you shall find, knocking the door shall be opened. How bad do you want it? I love the ERV translation. It says, continue to ask and God will give it to you. Continue to search and you will find it. Continue to knock and the door will be opened. Yes, whoever continues to ask will receive. Whoever continues to look will find. And whoever continues to knock will have the door open for them. We knock one time and we're tired. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he, you ain't asked that question since you was five. And see, some of y'all may be saying, well, why do I have to continue to ask? Well, most of the time when people pray, they're not even praying in faith. They're praying out of frustration. They're praying out of their feelings. They're praying out of their fears. They're not praying in faith. And James tell us, if you ain't praying in faith, let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So here's a take-home statement. You can't be double-minded and get a single blessing. I'm going to say that again. You can't have or be with a double mind and get a single blessing. So let me try to simplify God's will real quick. Let me simplify it. Okay, there are different ways to put it in categories, but I'm going to put it into two categories to make it simple. Here's the first category. It's God's sovereign will. You say, well, what is that? This is what God's going to do regardless of what we do. In other words, here's one. Jesus is coming back. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter what I do. It don't matter who God, Jesus is coming back. And believe it or not, when Jesus comes back, he don't even know the day or the hour. He don't know. The Bible says the Father only knows. That's Matthew 24:36. So God's sovereign will is something that the devil is going to hell. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Nothing is going to change that. Don't even try to pray for the devil. Lord, please have the devil get saved. He is not going to get saved. He's going to hell and he's taking as many people as he can with him. But then you have God's conditional will. You say, well, what is that, Pastor Evan? This is when God declares what his will is. But listen, but it is conditional upon us responding to it. Here's a good example, and we're closing here. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I exhort that first of all, prayers and supplications, intercession, be and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, so we may live a quiet and peaceable life. See, so if you haven't hell from your boss at work, you ain't praying for him enough. Verse 3, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this, who will have all men to be saved. Watch this, here's God's will. His will is for how many men to be saved? All men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. The question is, are all men being saved? No, they're not. You know why? Because they will not surrender or submit to the condition. The condition is you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead. So let me give you some steps to discovering God's will very quickly. Number one, you must pray if you want God to say. You must pray if you want God to say. In other words, be specific as possible. When the Lord told me he wanted me to preach, I was like, Lord, you sure you want me to do that? That's very specific. Lord, is this dude I'm dating right now, is am I supposed to be dating him? Don't even go, don't fast forward, talk about, is this my husband? No, don't even go that far. Start with, am I even supposed to be dating this man, Lord? Be specific. Here's the second thing you must do to get God's word, will. Search God's word for direction or correction. Here's number three. You must be willing to surrender your will in order to receive his will. If you're praying for God's will, but you're not willing to surrender yours, you're not going to hear his. Because your will is going to speak too loud. Here's number four. You must be open to his word, his spirit, and others to speak to your heart. I love Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counsels, there is safety. Here's the ERV version. If you don't ask for advice, your plans will fail. With many advisors, they will succeed. Let peace, here's the next one. Let peace be your umpire, because sometimes we may not get an answer, but we have peace about what's happening. Amen. Never make a decision that causes anxiety and causes something to break your peace. Don't make the decision. Just sit still. Amen. But don't let fear, don't confuse fear with anxiety. Because see, some things you got to do scared. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to do it scared. Amen. So don't let fear paralyze you into doing nothing. Here's the next one. Never rush life-changing decisions. If it's a life-changing decision, you don't need to rush that. That shouldn't be no 24-hour. If your job comes to you and say, hey, we got an opening that's in New York, and we need you to give us an answer today. Say, don't worry about it. Now, if you give me a couple of days, 3 days, maybe four, I need to talk to the Lord about it and see what he got to say. Well, you're going to miss it then. Well, bye-bye. If you are married, be in agreement, not just in support to whatever decision it is. And let me just say this. When God's will comes, it is, the Bible says, the wisdom of God, it is peaceable. It is easy to be entreated. And let me tell you something. God, if you can do it without him, it's probably just your will. His will always be bigger than what you think you can do, because if you do it, he don't want you to think you did it. He wants you to be able to say, oh man, if it was not for the Lord, this would not have gotten done in my life. I wake up every day and I'm like, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in my eye. You could not have told me when I got saved that I would start a church and God would use this church to reach thousands of people. You could not have. No. You're talking about somebody who used to shoot dice for lunch tickets. How many shoot dice in here? Let me see here. We got a couple of dice shooters in here. Right. So here's your homework assignment. Number one, let that rubber band remind you, did I renew my mind today? Then number two, say, Lord, what is your will for my life right now? Did y'all get something out of the word today? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Here's my question.